Thank you, Pastor Sandra. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the worship team and the AVA team for coming in extra early so that we can have the Mandarin sermon recorded at 9 a.m. for the past 3 weeks. And bearing no curveballs, my flight will be climbing out of Changi Airport this coming Sunday to Shanghai. And I really thank you for giving me the opportunity to minister to you for the past few Sundays. And I'm sure that good things will happen to you. I'm very thankful that the sermon will be uploaded in Shanghai. And I look forward to meeting up with all of you who are dispersed in different parts of the world. On Facebook, I can see that some of you are in Zurich, America, New Zealand, and some of the beaches in Asia. And I believe that all of us are waiting to get back to Shanghai and coming together to worship God as a body of Christ. We also thank the authorities in Shanghai for looking after us, encouraging us to close the service for the good of the community. But also thankful that we as a body of Christ in Singapore can continue to worship the Lord. You know, like I said, for the past few Sundays, it is important for us to know the difference between faith, foolishness and presumptions. It is foolishness for us to walk into the hospital where the communicable disease patients are being treated if we go there for no reasons unless for medical reasons. It is presumptuous for us not to take precautionary measure of washing our hands and, you know, doing whatever things that we need to do to keep ourselves healthy. And it is faith for us to come to the Lord on Sunday to worship Him, to give Him all the glory, praise and thanksgiving. Now, I feel very led to share with you something that happened in Shanghai. A few weeks ago, my finance manager actually asked me, you know, Pastor Daniel, would you want to send an email to all the church members regarding offerings? I said, you know, giving is, asking the church members to give is the furthest thing in my mind. Let me tell you what we've been doing for the past few weeks when I was here. I've been communicating with my staff regarding how we can help the affected areas in China. We have given, I think, 10,000 masks to all the churches in Wuhan. We have given masks to Fudan children hospitals, and we have been thinking of ways of how to help the situation as a body of Christ. You know, I've been approving money to go to helping to build churches in Bangkok, giving missionaries money to reach out to the lost in Thailand, and talking to Pastor Sandra about how we should be growing the church here, the strategy and the direction that we should be going. And this preoccupied the church officers in Shanghai and in Singapore. You know, one thing, maybe there are a lot of things that are going through your mind in regards to your business, how it's going to be affected for the first quarter. Someone told me that first quarter is normally slow because of Chinese New Year. So I was telling you that, you know, I did not utter a word to the church members in Shanghai about money. And before I left, you know, it's true that we were behind budget by about 3 million. So by right, I should be anxious and preparing for the AGM in probably end of March. But I give praise to God that I received an email from my staff yesterday that we were already broke even or cross. We are no longer in deficit. We are very cross, you know, back to stable territory. Glory be to God. It is a testimony that when you take care of the mission field, when you take care of the people in need, God will multiply back to you whatever good that you have done, the righteousness, the righteous act that you have done. So ICS don't really talk about money. You know, we are not money-faced church. You know, we don't squeeze you for finances and so on and so forth. When you give it to God. You're not giving it for the church or whatever reasons, right? Now, in the midst of this coronavirus outbreak in China and across different cities of the world, I was, you know, sharing with you the different kinds of peace that we enjoy as a Christian. We praise God that we have peace with God because we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. We have peace with God. We have the peace of God that transcends all understanding, that will guard our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. That it's important for us not to meditate on the negative reports, although we do not deny facts. We are supposed to meditate on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is praiseworthy. Meditate on the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God, the covenants of God, so that we will be able to maintain the peace in our heart and our mind in Christ Jesus. Now, the third peace is peace in the world, and also peace in our heart, in our mind, in our interpersonal relationship. And, you know, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is actually one whole fruit. Fruit of the Holy Spirit, not fruits. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. This fruit comprises of 9 fruits. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. For the sake of teaching, we have broken down the 9 fruits so that we can, you know, expound on it. We have spent about 4 weeks talking about joy, love, peace. Yep, 3 weeks, sorry. And this week, I'm going to cover on patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. And when I leave next Sunday, Pastor Sandra will cover faithfulness and self-control. Pastor Kim will be preaching in Mandarin in Shanghai on faithfulness and self-control. 2 different sermons, 2 different uploads, and all good. It's the same Word of God. Now, I'm very thankful that we have an international church with multi-denominations. And let me tell you, let us not take this for granted, where we have peace, you know, among all the different denominations worshipping under one roof. I was very disturbed yesterday. I was very disturbed yesterday when I was out and about, and I happened to check the Facebook, and I saw a post by a theologian, a Western theologian, who criticized the charismatics of some of the scriptures that they use to encourage people during this coronavirus outbreak. I was very disturbed because right now is not the time to debate on theology. Really, you know, when in a time when we have people fighting in the front line as medical staff trying to help the patients recuperate from the virus infection, where families are waiting anxiously for their loved ones to come back from the hospital, we have patients who are infected by the virus. What the Christian community should do is to show forth the love, the grace, the mercy, the hope, the love for mankind, for humanity, that we stand in solidarity. There's only one enemy, and that's the coronavirus. As a body of Christ, we are one in Jesus Christ. You know, we shouldn't be telling the world of the theological differences that we have, attacking each other on social media. To me, that's carnality. That's the flesh, and that's not what God wants. God doesn't enjoy contentious rivalry, hatred, anger, jealousy, and all the factions that we have in the body of Christ, because that's not God. So as we come together as a body of Christ, let me tell you, as a senior pastor, it is my responsibility for you to grow spiritually, not just in terms of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So that when we are balanced in the Word and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we are matured. Now let me tell you, the gifts of the Holy Spirit is available for us to minister to one another, because God loves the people around us. Now the gifts of the Holy Spirit is regardless of your maturity level, because there's this compassionate God in the form of the third person of the Godhead of the Holy Spirit living in you. He sees the suffering of the world, and He wants to use you as a channel of blessing to minister to the people around us. And we live in a fallen world. There's no perfect person walking around us until we go to heaven. So that's why there's the fruit of the Holy Spirit for us to be gracious, to be loving in a most difficult situation. So let us pursue peace in interpersonal relationship. Let the body of Christ be known for its love. Because Jesus says that the people will know that you are my disciples if, maybe you will, maybe you won't. Maybe you're kind to people who love you. Maybe you're unkind to people who are different from you. But let love be the hallmark of Christianity. That Jesus said, when people see your love, they know that you are my disciples. Let me tell you, the debate for theology will never end until we go to heaven. So why bother wasting all this time, all our energy on debate, whereby we can channel our energy to pray? to pray for those who are suffering, to act on kindness for those who are in need. So with that, sorry, I am very worked up on all this kind of nonsense on the internet, and I just want to tell the world that, look, this is not Christianity. If you think this is Christianity, it's a wrong projection of Christianity. You know, knowledge doesn't tell us that we're spiritually matured. I mean, there are professors in the universities who don't even belong, who are teaching theology, who doesn't even belong to, who believe in God. I mean, it might cause you to fall off your chair, but it is true. So knowledge doesn't equate to spiritual maturity. The fruit of the Holy Spirit equates to spiritual maturity. With that, let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 26 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You know, we have taken time to expound on love, joy, and peace for the past 3 Sundays. All the fruit actually do play a part when we are living them in our lives, living them out in our lives. Although we have spoken individually about love, joy, and peace, and the rest of the fruit separately for the sake of teaching. We need to, in order for us to experience true peace in interpersonal relationship, we need to deal with the issues in our lives. Verse 26 says, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Do you know that we are a product of our thought life? We speak out from the abundance of our heart, and we act out our core values and principles. It goes without saying that we will be conceited when we are successful in life. The way we carry ourselves and the way we speak to others will provoke others to react negatively or positively. We will be arrogant, aggressive in our ways by demanding our rights and privileges when we are successful. We will be unkind and nasty regardless whether we are conceited or jealous of others. Now, let me talk to you today. In my 22 years of pastoral work and numerous counseling sessions, I've discovered some of the root issues that cause problems in the lives of people, be it church members or people in the secular world. Let me share with you one of the root issues that needs to be dealt with in order to help us to be more productive in the area of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is in the area of our identity. All right? Now, I tried to shake off this topic in my preparation for this sermon, and it takes up a big chunk of what I'm going to talk about today. So I hope that you bear with me. I just want to be obedient to what the Lord is leading me to say. You know, in order for us to live in peaceful relationship with one another, you know, in terms of counseling, I normally go in depth with the root issues that the people are dealing with. You know, it is the root issues that cause them to react in certain ways. So I'm just going to give you some examples, okay? My question to you is, do you struggle with rejection in your life? Different people have different struggles when it comes to why they feel that they are never accepted, but their struggles are deep secrets in their lives. Have you ever wondered why some emotional baggages keep popping out in your marriage relationship? One thing is, there are several things I'm going to mention today. You know, many Asians will probably know that Asians prefer boys than girls because the boys will be able to carry on with the family name, look after the parents when they are old, and to help out in the farm in the olden times, whereas the girls will be married off to the husband's family. Right? So to many of our parents, they find that girls are, please take it correctly, alright? I don't make a lot of friends or a lot of enemies this morning. Girls are a waste of money to the Asian parents. Some Asian parents, not all Asian parents. So there is when you are a girl, you know, growing in a family where they are biased towards boys than girls, we will have that rejection issues. You know, to make matter worse, they name you with a masculine name. You know, in China, you hear of friends, take it correctly, okay? Friends named by the name of Sen Nan. You know, the name Sen Nan, they mean Sen Guo Nan Hai Zi. And or they have a name that sounds like a boy's name or man's name, because their parents would prefer them to be a boy, a man, rather than a woman. Now, we can grow up envying our brothers because our parents favor and dote on them. We might have resentment, rivalry, anger, hatred, jealousy, insecurity in us towards our brothers and parents because we are treated unfairly. Subconsciously, we carry this resentment, rivalry, anger, hatred, jealousy, and pain into our adult life, and it affects our relationship with people. It can also affect our relationship with our spouse. It often turns out very ugly. There's no joy and peace. And all this is because of conditional love that our parents have shown to us. Now, with this thought, you know, some ladies growing up, grows up wanting to prove themselves to their brothers, to the men. And of course, individualism doesn't help because, you know, it's all about ourselves and it creates a lot of insecurity. The other thing that affects us will be our race, our skin color. You know, because we have been ostracized by our peers due to racism. It can be challenging growing up as a minority in the community. We will always think that others are looking down on us because of the color of our skin. When one does not take time to deal with it, then it will react in the slightest comment by someone because there are a lot of anger and frustration developed within us. You might say that, "Hey, Pastor, I don't have this issue. Let me give you a test." Ready? Let's say you're invited to dinner, right? You go into a restaurant and the waiter bring you to your seat and you know, couldn't care less about you, just leave you there. And then come another nationality. I won't name, huh? And when that nationality comes in, they say, "Oh, welcome, sir! Good to have you here with us tonight." And all of a sudden, they say, "Why didn't the person tell me that?" And then you get frustrated, you get angry. Let me tell you, you have issues. You have issues. You have to deal with it. If you don't deal with it, let me tell you, you will bring this issue to your workplace. "Yes, sir. Ma'am, are you here with me tonight?" No, this morning. Growing up in a meritocracy society can also be a challenge. Be it Shanghai, Singapore, all the big financial hub cities. In some cities, school refused to allow performing students to be enrolled in them in order for the school ranking not to be affected. They reject poor performers and have no patience with them because they have lost the passion of being an educationist. An educationist will be patient to walk through with the weakest student in the class. The kids will grow up thinking that they are the reject of society, and the good performers will think that they are the creator of their own destinies. The poor performers will have deep resentment and envy when there is favoritism in class. In fact, those who think that they are the creator of their own destinies will suffer more when they fail in their life because there's nothing more for them to hold on to. They are very proud and arrogant because they can be very loud-mouthed, big-headed, know-it-all attitude. They will not be gentle, kind, good, patient with others. This attitude will play out in a marriage relationship too. They live in hopelessness when their identity that they hold on to so dearly is shattered due to misfortune, especially during a possible recession like now. When all our identity is taken away, who are you? Who are you? We are jealous, angry, unkind when someone is better than us in the office, including our juniors, because we are insecure. Have you seen that in the corporate world? When the bosses are insecure towards their juniors because their juniors are really smart and doing well, and there's a possible threat. And when we're insecure, even the most knowledgeable, well-to-do, high-performance director of a department will be threatened because the company only remember your last achievement. The next quarter when it's not doing well, and another quarter when it doesn't do well, your history. And the time when you become history, who are you? If you do not deal with that, let me tell you, there will be no peace at home. One more thing that I would like to emphasize is there's an increase in youth suicide around the world because of peer pressure, cyber and physical bullying, the struggle of acceptance and not knowing one's identity. There are a lot of unkind words, belittling, self kind of thing going through the internet, causing them to feel lousy, and you know, and when the youth don't feel that they're accepted at home, that's why they take their own lives. So as Christians, we need to be careful with our children. Why I say that is because in the course of these 22 years, I mean, I've done youth ministry too. I'm also counseled youth when I'm a senior pastor. The youth of today, because of the youth culture and the, you know, the social media and so on and so forth, they're struggling with their identity. And I have counseled very good-looking men, very good-looking lady girls in their youth, and they're doing very well, but somehow they think that they're not doing well. Somehow they think that they're not pretty. And they go into depression. They go into harming themselves. Sometimes if it's worse, they will just kill themselves. Because we live in a conditional love environment. But praise be to God. Praise be to God for us as Christians. God loves us unconditionally. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6 to 7 says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. You know, there will always be a struggle for affirmation and acceptance, regardless of whether it's getting this from our parents, our peers, our bosses, or our colleagues, if we have not really dealt with rejection and identity issue. Knowing or unknowingly, it will affect in terms of our words, behavior, actions, and relationship with people because of the insecurity in our lives. Sometimes we hide it with a facade and use different means to present ourselves in order to be accepted by others. If we are struggling with rejection and identity issues, then we need to really come to terms with this biblical truth. That the only security that you can ever find, the only thing that can fill the void in your life, is to have Jesus Christ in your life. Amen? Are you here with me today? Is to have Jesus Christ in your life. Because, let me tell you, the root of rejection is found in at a time when Adam and Eve was kicked out of the Garden of Eden. They were rejected by God because of their sin. That root of rejection will forever be there in our lives until we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, until we renew our mind that we are accepted in the Beloved. You know, there's nothing that we can do or say to make God love us more. There's nothing that we have done or spoken to make God love us less. God loves us unconditionally. This is the grace of God. Amen? So we need to stop this performance treadmill to gain God's love. So we need to come to the term that I'm accepted in the Beloved. The view of how God looks, the way how God looks at me is the most important view that I will ever hold on to in my life. If that is what we pursue and that is what we accept, let me tell you, you come to a place of complete rest, of faith and confidence. Let me give you one more example. Now, I think the demography is very similar to Shanghai in Singapore. Let's say you're a trailing spouse. You're a trailing spouse. Before you became a trailing spouse in Singapore or Shanghai, probably you are a working man or working woman. Why I say man or woman is because trailing spouse can be man, can be woman. And let me tell you, it's more challenging for a man to be a trailing spouse. Yes? Let me tell you, it's true. I have counseled so many. When a man becomes a trailing spouse, he will struggle with his identity. Because normally people think that trailing spouse are women. So when they go for a party, they say, oh, what are you doing here in Shanghai or Singapore? Oh, I'm here with... I'm here with my
wife.
Sorry, what did you say? I'm here with my wife. How is that so? Oh, my wife has a job in Singapore. My wife has a job in Shanghai. I'm the trailing spouse. All of a sudden, let me tell you, all the insecurity will surface. Oh, well, so what do you do on weekdays? Oh, I go jogging. Okay, so what else? What do you do after that? I go to the gym. Okay, what's after that? I look after my kids. All of a sudden, he feels, For the ladies, maybe your manager, before you got posted to Shanghai or Singapore, you're a manager in a multinational company, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a different culture, different country, you can't speak the language, and people ask you, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm a trailing spouse. Okay, what do you do? Oh, I manage the household. I have 3 ayis to clean. I manage 3 ayis. Okay, so I fetch my children from school. All of a sudden, we feel small. We have identity crisis, you know. And that's where, if we don't deal with it, husband and wife will fight. And let me tell you more. Yeah? Let's say, okay, don't say repatriation yet. And you're there in Shanghai, Singapore for 3 years. You have no savings. The marriage is not on a covenant. Both of you have 2 savings. You see your husband's saving going up, your saving going down. And then you feel insecure. And you get angry and frustrated. See, this man, the man bullied me again. Remember, growing up in a society where they favor boys than girls. And then you react. And the man is full of himself and full of pride and so on and so forth. He is the, you know, somebody in the corporate world. He talked down on you, you feel lousy, and you fight. We are not happy. We don't even have money. We fight. We are angry. Give me the money. I have no security. I want to go back to work. But the kids are still young. Is there peace at home? No. So what should you do? I'm going to jump the gun a bit. We're talking about kindness, right? Today. Kindness. How about we show kindness to our spouse? The first kindness to our household believers. The household. The same household. How about saying, my dear, thank you that you are the woman behind my success. Let me tell you what, since we have a separate account right now, let's go to, maybe not name the bank, not advertise for them. Let's go to this bank, let's open a joint account, let's have all our money put together. Kindness. Hello? Oh, I have 3 properties under my name. Let's go to the lawyer and have your name included. Kindness. She feels insecure, make her feel secure. How about that? I know some of you are fidgeting on your chair right now. Pastor, let's change subject. So when we begin to have our identity in Christ, there'll be peace. Love, joy, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So kindness, what is kindness? Verse 22 of chapter 5, Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, suffering, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Now, We are able to love, be kind, because Christ has first loved us. God has shown kindness towards us. You know, there's hardly any kindness in this dog-eat-dog world, where everyone will protect their own interests above the others. We have read about how families are divided over the division of family inheritance. The company politics are fierce and highly competitive as one strives to be the top person in the company. Nobody is obliged to help the other person to succeed in a selfish environment. We seldom even pause to help someone who is struggling to survive in a marketplace because it is a survival of the fittest in this concrete jungle. Right? So, 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is long-suffering and is kind. Right? What is kindness? Let me give you the definition. Kindness is a gracious attitude and thus describes the quality of being helpful, beneficial. It is benevolence in action, kindliness, which disposes one to do good, but not a goodness qualitatively, but a goodness in action and expressed in deed. It is that temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes and which supply their want or alleviate their distresses. That's kindness. So do we have kindness? The good thing about living in Singapore, by now many of you know that we have this kindness movement. Right? Why? Because we've been very harsh to one another. You know, affluence has caused us to have the attitude of entitlement. So when we have become more affluent, we talk louder, we are more demanding in terms of service. So that's why everywhere you go, you see this sign. You are very important. But it's more important to be kind. It's terrible, isn't it? for us to have such posters everywhere where we are told to be kind to the people serving us, to be kind to the nurses, to be kind to the waiters, to be kind to the service provider. So we really need to be kind as Christians. Let me give you a biblical example of kindness. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 7 to 8 says, "So David said to him, 'Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. You shall eat bread at my table continually.' Then he bowed himself and said, 'What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?'" You know, Mephibosheth was in Lodibar, a place of lack, and he was the son of Jonathan. He fled with the helper who was carrying him, because when they heard that King David won the war, the caregiver picked him up, ran for their life, tripped and fell, and he became crippled. He was suffering in Lodibar until one day when King David said, "Is there someone still in the household of Saul that I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now, David understood covenant relationship. He sent someone to Lodibar in search of Mephibosheth, and he restored everything to someone who was suffering in the refugee camp. That's kindness. Once upon a time, you and I, we were living in sin and hopelessness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God reached out to us in his kindness to restore the relationship with us, so that we are able to experience his grace and also to dine in the King of Kings table. There is no lack in your life, because God is a gracious, kind and covenant watching God. So I'd like to challenge you. How about working at being kind to your spouse and family members? How about going the extra mile to make them feel loved, cherished and accepted unconditionally? What kind of kindness can we show to others, especially in the household of believers? How about starting a joint bank account with your spouse and ensure that the property deed is in both your names? Are we able to go out of the way to give someone a lift home when we have a car? How about helping some single parents who are struggling to bring up their children and juggling with a full-time work? We can have their children over at your place for a meal, to do homework with your children. What kind of kindness can we show to those whom we are working with daily? How can we show kindness to people who are suffering in Wuhan and different cities affected by the virus, especially those family of the medical profession who have died at the front line of this crisis? Now, ICS has decided, bearing no challenges that we face in organizing the charity golf, it will be postponed, but the beneficiary of this year's charity golf will be those people in the Chinese cities who have lost their loved ones in this crisis, especially sole breadwinners. We do not know how many we can help, but definitely want to show kindness, God's kindness, to a suffering community. The second fruit that I'm going to talk about today is patience. You know, we live in a very fast-paced society where the fruit of long-suffering, of patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control will be a huge challenge for us. You know, let me share with you a recent example. You know, when you prepare a sermon, right, the first one to be tested will be me. Patience is something that I'm still trying to develop. I'm not very good at it yet. So, it was on Valentine's Day that I reserved a car from 6 to 9 o'clock on a car sharing scheme to bring my wife, beautiful wife, and my son for dinner. So when I went to the place to pick up the car at 5:50, I received a text message, an email message also, from the service provider that the previous driver will be late. I said, okay, maybe 10 minutes late. And the email said, "You cannot cancel the reservation until 45 minutes later." I said, 45 minutes. So I stood there at a car park. I waited. 10 minutes gone. 20 minutes gone by. 30 minutes gone by. 40 minutes! The car came. I said, "It's okay, dear. Maybe they have some urgent thing to settle. It's okay. Just be gracious." She was not there. I was there. I tell you. For my personality, normally, the high blood will, the pressure will go up. So I was okay. The person said, "Oh, we're sorry," you know. I said, "Okay." So I took the car, opened the car, I turned on the engine. Man, the real test came. The fuel light indicator was blinking. Empty tank. I told the Lord, "Thank you so much." Okay, to be very frank, I went up to the person and said, "You know, it's okay that you're late for 40 minutes. I don't mind paying for your slot. But I think you should at least top up enough fuel for me to go and to go to the petrol kiosk. I mean, the light is blinking." So at that moment, if I in my old self, I would have given the person a piece of my mind. And I don't think anybody wanted what was going through my mind at that time. So it's real. It's true. But the wonderful thing is, we can control ourselves. And I'm not going to jump the gun for Pastor Sandra next week. We can have self-control. We can regulate what is coming up from our mouth. Okay? So let me give you the definition of patience. It's literally long temper as opposed to short-tempered. A long holding out of the mind before it gives room to action or passion. It describes a state of emotional calm or quietness in the face of provocation, misfortune, or unfavorable circumstances. Patience! Dear Singaporeans, dear Shanghainese, and whatever nationality that you belong to in ICS, patience is a virtue. Patience is something that we need to develop towards our spouse. Okay, let me disturb the sisters a bit. You know, many of our sisters love the Lord, don't you? Sisters, are you here with me? Wonderful. You know, maybe you're a trailing spouse. You have a lot of time to do Bible study. To do, you know, on your own Bible study, go to cell group, listening to sermons throughout whatever is available in the internet. And you are growing spiritually. And your poor husband is slogging in the world. Right? And husband, including myself, are slower. Somehow. Maybe because they are the one who fell. Adam was the one who fell. Right? So in terms of spiritual growth, we are a bit slower. So, sisters, be patient with your husband when he's not growing spiritual as fast as you want him to be. Because it takes time. Amen. And all the brothers say, amen. Don't sabo me, yo. Okay, for sabo means don't sabotage me. Yep. Right, praise God. So God wants the church to grow. Yeah, but for church growth, it is up to the Holy Spirit. We can share the gospel, we can preach the gospel, but it will take time for the church to grow. So my encouragement to you is, please be patient with us, okay? Please be patient with the church if it's not growing as fast as you like to be. You know, I'm sure Pastor Sandra wants this church to be 5,000 by now, but it's not as fast as you want it to be. Gentleness. Verse 23 says, gentleness, self-control, against such there's no law. So what's the definition of gentleness? Describe the quality of not being overly impressed by the sense of one's self-worth. It's a quality of gentle friendliness, gentleness, meekness, as strength that accommodates to another weakness. Consideration, restraint, patience, trust in the midst of difficult circumstances. It is a humble, gentle attitude which expresses itself in particular in a patient submissiveness to offense, free from malice and desire for revenge. Now, gentleness. Let me give a few examples. There were a few occasions, there was one time I really loved my car very much. Very much. I was like, short of. I love my car very much. So, you know, there was three occasions, all right? Three occasions when I was driving in Shanghai, someone bumped into my car. Really bumped into my car at the middle of an intersection. I came out, it was damaged, and I told the driver, I said, "Forget it. I'll take it upon myself. Let's move on." To me, that's kindness and gentleness. I mean, just to put it in perspective, the one time we were... Okay, never mind. Let's move on. Dangerous ground. So the other time was when I was driving in a tunnel, a Mercedes Sports just hit the rear of my car. I came out. I mean, if you live in Shanghai before, straight away there'll be a scene, right? Everybody stop and, you know, there were a lot of commotions. But I look at the driver, I say, let's move on. It's okay, I'll take it. Let me tell you, that's a breakthrough for me, you know. Really a breakthrough. That my car is no longer my idol. And to be patient with people, to be gentle with people. It can be done because when you allow that fruit to flow out of you, to be gracious, to be gentle, to be kind, to think that people is more important than the external things that you have. Now, let me say this, and I'm sure it's true here too, that we have a lot of type A personality in ICS. Type A personality are very directive, decisive, domineering, aggressive in their ways. They're very confrontational and thrive in the antagonistic environment, especially in the marketplace. And I think that's one of the reasons why they survive so well in Shanghai. Because they are pioneers, they are, you know, entrepreneurs, they are pave maker and so on and so forth. There's an absence of gentleness in their lives. I mean, this is evident in both brothers and sisters because they just want to get the work done and at times very conscious that they are not conscious that they have hurt others. They have this just do it attitude. Don't ask me questions, just do it. But then there's other personalities that say, but how to do it? Give me the framework. No, just do it. Preferably you should get it done by yesterday. I mean, there's no peace. So how do you work with these people? Be patient. I mean, there are people who want to ask you, what's the time frame, when's the deadline, how do you want to do it, who is in the team. You know, we have to be patient with people to tell them whatever instruction that you want to give. You know, for me, it's a challenge to be a pastor of all these people sitting in this committee because everybody wants their voice to be heard and nobody is giving way. Walk in love. Let me remind you, fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Let's work together. Let this be evident in your life, okay? And I say this, sisters have these traits too. And if you don't deal with it, don't blame God. God is not the one who... God wants you to have peace in your house. But if you're so aggressive, if you're so impatient, if you're so full of yourself, then there will be no peace. There's a quietness in this room that's very disturbing. You know, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. Look, I'm not against sisters, okay? Don't get me wrong. Brothers have weaknesses. Just happened that this is an example in the Bible. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husband. You know, the world emphasized on looks. The world emphasized on the shape of your body. But the Bible emphasized the inner beauty of a woman. Have you ever seen a very beautiful lady, but she's just give you the words that she says, the way she carries herself, the things, the way they put things is really repugnant, you know. Puts the person off. But the Bible said that the inner beauty, what's the inner beauty? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's why I say there are a lot of pretty women in church. Not just physically, but because of the inner beauty it shows forth in their lives. So that's why the Bible says, be submissive to your husband. Don't say that, oh, my husband is the head, I'm the neck. If you continue to be the neck, you will be the pain in the neck. Sorry, I'm a very direct person, okay? So we either walk in the flesh or we walk in the spirit. If you walk in the spirit, you will be submissive, you'll be loving, you'll be forgiving, you'll be gentle, you'll be kind. In closing, goodness. Goodness describes active goodness, virtue, excellence, or beneficent. Its high moral character reflected in being good in both nature and effectiveness. So Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 to 10 says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do goodness, especially to those of the household of faith." Now, we have different group of people in church. There will be those who have needs among us, who might not express their challenges that they are facing. However, if we know their need, let us meet their need. Let us do good. Right? Let us be kind. There are full-time pastors and ministers that you know, missionaries in the field who might have a need. You might have a spare room at home. Welcome them to their home, your home, so that you know they can recuperate, especially missionaries who pass through Singapore. This is goodness. So in conclusion, God has given us the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All the 9 fruits come as a whole package. Therefore, we should allow the 9 fruit to flow out of our lives when the situation warrants it. If we are to obey the peace, if we want to enjoy the peace in interpersonal relationship, then we need to choose to walk in the Spirit and abide in Christ. Then you can truly enjoy the holistic peace that God wants you to have in this situation. The peace with God, the peace of God that transcends your mind and your life in Christ Jesus, the fruit of peace in your life that helps you to enter an interpersonal relationship. That's why the Christian life is an abundant life. It's not just about money, it's about prospering in every aspect of your life, especially in terms of interpersonal relationship. Let's bow our head and pray.